haven't gone back to count, but I think the number of times we've looked at the ourselves passage has probably equaled what we did to one another. Had a lot of one another, how we relate to one another. Then we began to look at yourselves, and really I'm only focusing upon where those that word appears in the New International Version. There's a wonderful one in 1 Timothy 4:16 that says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. But that yourself passage, the idea of take heed to thy, I think the King James says, take heed to thyself and to thy doctrine. For in doing so, you'll both save yourself and those that you care for. And so it's obviously pretty important in God's eyes that we are concerned with ourselves. Not to promote ourselves, but to minister to ourselves as God intends us to. And there's a sense in which it's far more important than seeing to others. There's a certain limit to what we can do in terms of ministering to others and to change others, but we can seek the Lord's help to become ourselves what God wants us to be. And in fact, that might lead us to treating one another the right way. It may be that if we focus within ourselves and seek to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we'll find quite naturally we're relating to other people. Supernaturally, but it's from the Spirit within, relating to other people in the way we should. Get ourselves in tune with God, and it may be we'll do much better at relating to others. So perhaps it is well that we even exceed the number of times we've exhorted one another about what we do to one another and for one another. It might be well to give more attention to ourselves. We want to do that tonight. And it's the passage that we've been looking at in Romans chapter 12. I'd like to read Romans chapter 12, 9 to 21, but we want to focus on verse 10. Romans chapter 12, 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And our focus of attention is verse 10, where Paul challenges us, really the one exhortation in that we'd like to look at, honor one another above yourselves. We want to look at the word honor. We want to consider the supreme difficulty of it, see how Jesus did it, and challenge us to pursue that ourselves. So we're looking at verse 10, honor one another above yourselves. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we hear the exhortation that you give to Timothy, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine, that in doing so you may save yourself and others as well. Lord, help us that we might take heed to ourselves. Teach us, grant us grace. Give us understanding of the things going on that we struggle ourselves with, and grant us grace to find such strength from God within that we may be the kind of person that can respond properly to those around us and will be conformed more and more to the image of the Lord Jesus. Grant us today that we will be helped to that end by your Holy Spirit through your word. Speak to us today, O Lord, and grant us your grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We this morning sought to bring honor and praise to the name of the Lord, and we remembered the promise, the declaration, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto you, and the wonderful praise that we give to God. And honor is, when it's applied to God, a matter of declaring his excellency, his wonder, and his glory. It's perceiving and appreciating the beauty of what he is and lifting our hearts. And so often we need the words of scriptures to help us because we're inadequate in ourselves. We return back the praise that God gives us because we know how great God is, but we couldn't put it into good words. And we can't say it as it needs to be said, but we're given a book of Psalms that enables us to praise God and gives us the words that we can come and praise him with, and we can lift our hearts and join into that. And of course, there are those specifically to the Lamb that we find in the book of Revelation, when people lift their hearts to honor and to praise God. And it's a joy to do that, and it's wonderful to enter into it. And certainly when it talks about honoring, that's what we're called to do with regard to God. We're to surrender to admiration and praise of the one who deserves all the praise that we can give. The joy of heaven will be that we sit, praise him with unsinning hearts, with complete abandonment, with wonderful entering into the joy of honoring him as the one who has revealed himself to us, has sent his Son to die upon the cross, has redeemed us, and has gathered us with God's people that we may declare his praise forever. When applied to God, honor is holding God in absolute esteem, surrendering all admiration and praise to him, and doing what we will do in heaven when we behold his face. So it is to honor God. But what does it mean when it applies to a lesser being? And then it might be good to look at the meaning of the word. It has to do with price. It has to do with value. It has to do with esteeming it for the value that it has. Give it the value that it has. We would like to be able to determine what's the value of this particular object. If you've got some collectible or something, there are ways you can go on the internet and find out what's the value of that. What is it valued at in those who buy those things? Sometimes it's remarkable what you can be holding in your hand and see what they'll get for it on eBay. You're astonished sometimes because the value of it is what will be given for it, and that's the worth of it. Not because it's got some intrinsic value, but what is the worth of it? What will people give for it? Pricing it, honoring it with the price that it deserves. And that's pricing, and granting the respect and appreciation that it deserves is the way Paul uses it in Romans 13 and verse 7. It's related to what he says there, where it says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, taxes, revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Give what you owe. And that's the point in which we need to view one another, and the point in which we ought to view others with regard to ourselves. We give them the honor that is appropriate to them, the honor that recognizes their value. And we're to recognize that and be more quick to do that than we are to be concerned about our honor and our respect. It's a matter of turning our attention away from ourselves, looking to others, and the rule of thumb is honor them above yourself. We've got in verse 10, honor one another above yourself. It's valuing them appropriately, seeing how important they are in God's estimation, valuing them because God values them, not valuing them because we can see the advantages or disadvantages of this person, but what does God think of that person? How valuable are they in God's eyes? And we need to be quicker to see that value than we are to see the value of ourselves. It's not we're to assume that they're all more valuable than we are, but that we come quicker to value them in that way than we are to value ourselves. We very much like to value ourselves. We very much like to treat ourselves with special care because of how important we are. But it's to look at others and value them, honor them because of their their intrinsic value in God's eyes. It's the way we honor a fragile antique. If you have a fragile antique, you honor it. You treat it with respect and care. You don't want to break it. You don't sit on an antique chair. You don't ignore the little cord that's put across it at the museum that indicates, don't sit on this, look at it. You value it, you honor it for what it is. You honor an artifact. You've got something that is ancient and fragile, and you honor it by treating it with the kind of respect that it ought to have. And it's the way that we're to treat one another in many ways. Isn't a husband told to honor his wife as the weaker vessel, to have a certain special respect because she's weaker? Of course, we live in a world that battling the whole issue is she really weaker? And what does that mean to say she's weaker? And all those things that we've got to deal with in our generation. But God views her as one that needs to be treated with care, honored, and in the case that we're speaking, that we mentioned in Peter, honor her as the weaker vessel, and to treat her particularly special. And that's what it is to honor one another. It's to treat them particularly special, even more than you treat yourself that way. Now, that's the idea that we're to do, I think, the honoring in that kind of sense. It's not putting an incorrect value on the person. It's simply trying to see them as God sees them, trying to consider them the way God considers them. It's not that in our estimation they're the neatest person in the world. It really doesn't involve that. It involves honoring them the way God does. And what does God think of that person is a good thing to have in our mind. And there's a supreme difficulty in doing that, because we always treat ourselves with very special regard. We always see ourselves as special. We are told by our society to see ourselves as special, to view ourselves as important. The society thinks that you're working against an inferiority complex, so you've got to compensate by encouraging somebody how special and important they are, and so we get the propaganda that tells us how special we are. We're to think better of ourselves. We're to be out for number one. We're to encourage to recognize our own specialness. That's just propaganda all around us. We're given reasons to justify being quite open about preferring yourself before others. Take care of number one. Go after the things that are right for you. Do what you want is the whole milieu in which we live. And people are admired who take care of number one. And we sort of look at them with envy because they've accomplished so much, having cast off their inhibitions and their concern for others and gone after what they had a vision for. Well, that is so much the milieu of our day, that the idea of honoring others above yourself is hard. And we can easily see our life as a kind of movie. In fact, it might be a good thing sometimes to see our life as a kind of movie. Your life is a movie of somebody who came into the world in the particular circumstance that you came into, with all the handicaps and difficulties you had when you came into the world. And then your life is a story of how does that person deal with this problem? And what influences come to mold that person in a certain way? And then how do you go from there to the next stage? And what do you do to develop? And where are the elements of drama that come in and the opportunities that come? And it's a story. And our lives are all a story. You're the story of somebody that was born of the parents that you had, and a person that had the very real handicaps that you've got, but also the strength that you've got. And you're the story of someone who, given all those influences, this is how that person reacted. And these are the extra influences that came in. And so you being the star of the movie, everybody else is a supporting actor, and there are a lot of bit parts. You're the star. Your parents are the supporting actors that help you to be what you are, and you conquer all the problems that come as this wonderful epic of yourself is being played out, the story of your life, and of course the end will be what happened. In the whole thing, what will be the result of the life that you've built and established in responding to the things that face you and the concerns that you had to face? You became, well, the story is whatever comes up at the end. Now we're at the beginning, somewhere closer to the end of the story, and it's the story of your life. You are the star. Now, people didn't exactly tell you to be that, but that's what you are, and you always are. Everybody around you is a supporting actor in the story, the movie that you're the star of. And everybody, by nature, looks at themselves as the star, and everybody else is connected. But the real point is what happens to you. And it's a natural response for us to have about our own lives. And it's not altogether bad. I know there are times that I challenge the 7th and 8th graders. The fact that they're a movie. They view themselves as the star. Well, what's going on with this person? How do they react to different circumstances? When challenges come into their life, how do they react? When they face an obstacle, what do they do? How do they organize their resources to conquer that obstacle and to get around it and to accomplish what they have? That kind of thing of standing back and looking yourself as you're working through life isn't altogether bad. To see the importance of your life is not altogether bad, but we're likely to be caught up with ourselves. The only important story is our story. The only thing that matters is how it works for us. And that's so easy for us to consider. And the result is that we miss the point of what life is altogether. We really believe that life is a matter of my getting what I ought to have and being as happy with everything I get as I can, enjoying myself as much as I'm able to, and then at the end, getting to the best place. And that's the story of what life is all about. And it gives us the habit of viewing ourselves, honoring ourselves above what we ought to, seeing ourselves as more important than everyone else. Hard to shake it. It's a supreme difficulty to live life not honoring ourselves above everybody else. When you go through with it and push yourself and provide hype for the coming attractions, people think they're doing what you're supposed to do. But some kids do desire to provide hype for the coming attraction, exalt themselves and keep thinking in terms of the wonder of this story, and it so focuses upon ourselves that our tendency is to think very highly of ourselves. Somehow all of that has to be put in perspective. Somehow we have to pull back and put ourselves in the place that God puts us. Everything in our society is interpreted as a means of promoting ourselves, getting for ourselves what ourselves want. The honor that is done, that means that is due to God, is constantly given to the creature, and man becomes God. And men seem willing to give blessing and honor and glory and power to men, to ourselves, if we can. Giving such a place to somebody else than ourselves is supremely difficult for all of us. And that's what Jesus did. That's a remarkable reality that we find in Christ. He honored us above himself. He treated us as though we're more important than he is. He came to live a life with a concern for us, above his concern for himself. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Everything in his life honored us above himself. And why should we be honored? In what sense do we deserve honor from God? How in any way do we deserve that God would honor us above himself? And that's exactly what Jesus did. He honored us above himself. He acted as if our needs were more important than his own needs. Like it didn't matter that he suffered. What matters is that we not suffer. This is the remarkable life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He behaved as though we were worthy of more attention than himself. Remarkable that this should be in his mind, in his mentality with regard to us. He veiled his glory and disguised himself as the lowest of men and sought to bring honor to us rather than to himself. It's remarkable to see the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to us. Of course, in the end, he brought wonderful glory to himself. That he should do such a thing makes him look all the greater. But his goal in doing it was for concern for those for whom he came. He stooped to make us great. Our likeness to Jesus Christ will shine more if we take on some of this in our own lives. So Paul says, honor one another above yourselves. Be like Jesus in this. And in fact, our hearts look beyond our own selfishness, which we hate, to actually being like the one we love. And our hearts say, amen, Lord. May it be so. We don't like the selfishness that dominates our life. We don't like the fact that we just feel such a desire for self-aggrandizement. We don't like the fact that there's a selfishness that's demanding, wants our own way. When we get angry because they don't go our own way, we don't like that in ourselves. We don't like being the kind of person that we are number one always. We see it in ourselves. We see the selfishness. We see the impatience. We see the wrong responses, the unthankfulness. We don't like it. Well, God says we are to honor one another above ourselves. The key to it is to be like Christ. Die to self. Don't be concerned for self. Look to others more than yourself. So many of the commands of what we're to be and how we're to respond are connected with honor one another above yourselves. Reach out and exalt them. Not because they have some intrinsic value bigger than yours. Did any of us have an intrinsic value bigger than Jesus? Did we somehow deserve praise in some special way beyond him? He deserved all the praise. But he was willing to hide his glory. He was willing his whole life to prefer others above himself, serve them, wash their feet, draw near to the people that were unpleasant and irritable and unclean, all the things that weren't what he knew human beings ought to be. But he honored us, and he drew near, and he reached out in love to care for us and to help us and to lift us. He had an attitude toward us. It was remarkable that the Pharisees would always look down on others and consider themselves so much better than everyone else and disdain those that weren't as holy as they are. Well, Jesus was exceeding more holy than we. And yet he honored us above himself. And he came willing to live in a way far beneath him in order to show love to us and to lift us up. And that's the kind of attitude that Paul is exhorting us to, in honor, to honor one another above ourselves. Just turn the eye off ourselves. I've mentioned it before because it's a quote that came at a funeral that we saw of a lady that had been connected with child evangelism. And one of the things that she was quoted as saying is, don't think less of yourself, think of yourself less. And it just struck me as such a value to me. Don't think less of yourself, think of yourself less. And really, that's what it is. It isn't how much you think of a person. It's how much attention you put on yourself as opposed to how much you think of them. Jesus didn't think less of himself when he came to earth. He didn't somehow think, I am just unworthy even so much as to associate with these people. I'm terrible. I am worthless. I am dirtier than they are. He didn't lie. He didn't say that. But he wasn't preoccupied with thinking of himself. He was really thinking of others. He didn't think less of himself. But he thought of himself less and looked out to reach out to others who were in need and cared about them. Well, that seems to me to be the thing that Paul is exhorting us to. And the real problem is doing it. And it's not something we can do because it's a part of what we are. It's an attitude we have. And attitude isn't something you do, but you do seek to have that attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It's all connected with the Philippians things we've looked at. In fact, Philippians has a quote that almost is exactly the words that are here. In honor, or thinking of others better than yourself, is included in Philippians as well. But the concept is there. It's an attitude that we need to have, and it makes us to see that we can't do it. How do you change? How do you give the attitude that you need to have? Well, that's the work of God in us, to open our minds, to have that attitude toward one another. How do you do that? Well, it has to do with ourselves, looking at ourselves for what we are, looking at Jesus for who he is, and the attitude changes as you see what Christ did. Jesus is really the answer to all our needs, because our attitudes change when we remember what Christ did for us. And we really do reach out with a greater love to others. We are less selfish and we are less demanding of our own way when we look to him, when we realize that he humbled himself in that way for us, when we realize that he veiled his glory and came to earth and lived in our midst, not for himself, but for us. He didn't need to do it for himself. He didn't need anything. He didn't need us. But for our sake, he gave of himself. He considered us valuable enough to do that. As that empowers our mind and we look at others as ones for whom Christ came to earth to live and die, it helps us to consider others better than ourselves. Be quick to see our own sins. Actually, if we see other people's sins, they may look terrible, but if we really see our own, they look worse. Why could Paul say that he himself was the chief of sinners? We would never have said that. But he saw himself on the inside, and he knew himself to be that. And so when he reached out to others, he didn't reach out to others that were beneath him. He reached out to others that were less of a sinner than he was. Now, how did he see that? Well, it was the Spirit of God showing him. It was the person of Christ before him in his mind. And he realized what he was. And the result came that he was able to look at others with love and compassion, to look beyond the outward terrible things that might have turned him away in disgust, and realize that beneath that is a person whom Christ loved. And Christ came to give himself for that person. God cared about that person. And every time I look down with a sense of disdaining someone, God cared about that person. And even if they're not yet a Christian, God came to save the likes of that person. And God, Jesus considered it worthwhile to come and live his life and die on the cross and rise again from the dead for that person, for that kind of person. And we need to, as we see that, it does change our attitude. And it becomes the mind of Christ. And so that's what he's exhorting us to. It really isn't something you do. It's an attitude. It comes from seeing ourselves as we ought to see ourselves. It comes from the Spirit of God helping us to see our own sin and how far short we fall. It comes from a recognition of how merciful God was to care for us, seeing how patient he is to keep with us, recognizing the patience of Christ to us helps us have patience with others. Recognizing the love of Christ to us helps us to love others. Seeing more and more of the wickedness of our own hearts helps us to look beyond the wickedness of somebody else's and care about them because God valued them. All of that does help. It's an attitude, but it comes because the mind of Christ is in us. And it all connects with the things we're looking at Philippians and connects with all the other things we've seen about ourselves. The way to take care of ourselves is to look to Jesus Christ and more to be conformed to his image and more to see other people the way he sees them. And we're so far from that that it humbles us, and we could feel, like Paul, that we are the chief of sinners. I remember Spurgeon mentioning to someone who was, or mentioned there are those that come and think their sins are so bad that God can't forgive them, and they feel like the chief of sinners. And Spurgeon being able to say with the wonderful Spurgeon cheerfulness, you're not the chief of sinners. No, the chief of sinners died and went to heaven long ago because Paul said he's the chief of sinners. So you can be encouraged. You might think how bad you are. No, you're not the chief of sinners. Chief of sinners died and went to heaven long ago. But he went to heaven because Jesus came, not thinking of himself more highly than he ought, not anywhere near as highly as he deserved, but surrendering all that and thinking of others better than himself. So those are things that are all tied up with the exhortation. And of course, each one of the exhortations that are there are fleshed out and made clear as we look to our Lord. Jesus came with every right to be received, every right to be accepted, every right to be honored, came from the place where he was honored, he was appreciated, he was valued, where the heavens declared his glory, was willing to veil all that and come to earth and be despised and rejected by men because he considered us, honored us above himself. Well, when Jesus has done that, and we see that he's done that, it helps us to follow the exhortations. not just these, but all the exhortations that God gives us in terms of our relationship with one another. The key is always Jesus Christ. It's always recognizing what he did for us. Recognize his love for us. And entering in every time we hear a song on Christian radio that asks the question, why did he love me so? Why did he love me so? Why did my Savior to Calvary go? Why did he love me so? That sense that he did that is the thing that will help us to honor others above ourselves. It does not mean we think they're more valuable than we are, but we honor them more than ourselves. We recognize their value as Jesus valued them, and we are very aware of our own shortcomings, so we honor them above ourselves. May God help us to have that attitude. Paul seems to have had it to a remarkable degree, and he's the one who says in Philippians, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And it gives that beautiful picture of him humbling himself and taking the very nature of a servant and dying on the cross, rising again, that the glory and honor of heaven would be his because he honored others above himself. Well, may God help us to see how he did that for us personally. Not just that it is wonderful how he did that for those people who were sinners, but it's that realization that he did that for me. I was the sinner. I was the one that turned against him. I was the one that abandoned his word. I was the one that put him on the cross. And when I realized that he regarded me in that way, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. All of those things touches our heart and makes us better to relate to each other. So each other is very important, how we treat each other, but it's connected with how we regard ourselves. And regarding ourselves is tremendously valuable in terms of how we regard to one another, how we deal with one another. So may God grant us grace to take all of these things to heart. But as we look at this one, may God help us to honor one another above ourselves and do so in order to be like Christ, who saw us, honored us, sacrificed himself that we might be saved. May God give us something of a sense of that. He's planted the desire in us. May he help us more and more to do that. He'll help us as we meditate upon Christ, as we listen to Christian hymns, as we listen to the scriptures, as we read the scriptures, as we see Christ in the scriptures. All these things will help us to relate to one another because it will give us that desire to be like Christ. And there's a day coming when we will be like him. And with unsinning heart, we will praise and honor him and be ready to not have to be the star of the movie, not have to be the main character with everybody else's supporting character, but recognize that our whole movie is to praise and magnify the one that loved us, gave himself for us. Well, may Jesus help us to this, and may he receive all the praise. Let's pray. Our great God, we thank you that you have loved us. Excuse me. Lord Jesus, we praise you that though you deserve all praise and we're receiving it, you were willing to veil your glory, come to earth, take the lowest position, live in our midst, always concerned for others, never desiring that which would exalt you, though you deserved it. Excuse me. Lord, when we think of ourselves as deserving more honor than we get, help us to remember you. Grant us grace in the practical struggles of everyday life, where that desire to be number one comes in and the enemy would stir us to look out for ourselves. Grant us grace more and more to remember Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness that is ours, that in all these selfish uprisings, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. And help us, Lord, to see to ourselves, look to ourselves, and seek that our own walk with you would be such that we'll find strength and help in Jesus every day, moment by moment. Grant us grace to seek these things, Lord, putting our heart on the things that are above where Christ is, and help us to hear and respond to your word as it challenges us to honor others above ourselves. Lord, in that, help us, and may Jesus Christ be precious to us in every challenge we face. Help us, we pray. We thank you for your love. Thank you that you've already given us a desire for these things, that it's an expression of what we want. We know it's that because you have worked in us by your Spirit. We thank you for it, and we pray you'll continue, that you that began a good work in us will continue it to the day of the Lord Jesus. We ask these things for the glory of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, for Jesus our Savior. We ask in his name. Amen. I'd like us to turn in closing to 146 in the Blue Book. 146 in the Blue Book. Lord, make me like you. 146 in the Blue Book.